Chapter 22. Routine. Though Captain Singh's current assignment, equidistant from the Sun and Jupiter, had been called the loneliest job in the solar system, he seldom felt lonely. He often contrasted his situation with that of the great navigators of the past, such as Cook and the unfairly maligned Bligh. They had been cut off from all communication with their home base and their families for months, sometimes years, and had been forced to live in crowded, unhygienic quarters in close contact with a handful of fellow officers and a larger number of ill-educated and frequently mutinous seamen. Even apart from such external dangers as storms, hidden shoals, enemy action, and hostile natives, shipboard life in the old days must have been a close approximation to hell. It was true that there was not much more living space aboard Goliath than there had been on Cook's 30-meter-long endeavor, but the absence of gravity meant that it could be used far more effectively. And, of course, the amenities available to crew and passengers were incomparably superior. For entertainment, they had immediate access to everything that human art and culture had produced, up to a few minutes ago. The time lag to Earth was almost the only hardship they had to endure. Every month there would be a fast shuttle from Mars or the Moon, bringing new faces and taking personnel home for vacation. The eagerly awaited arrival of the mail boat, with items that could not be sent over radio or optical links, was the only break in a now well-established routine. Not that shipboard life was by any means free from problems, technical and psychological, serious and trivial. "Professor Jameson?" "Yes, Skipper?" "David has just drawn my attention to your exercise record. It seems that you have missed your last two sessions on the treadmill." "There must be some mistake." "Undoubtedly, but whose? I'll put you through to David." "Well, perhaps I did miss one. I've been very busy analyzing those samples they brought back from Achilles. I'll make up for it tomorrow." "Be sure you do, Bill. I know it's boring, but unless you crank up to half a G when your schedule tells you to, you'll never be able to walk on Mars again, let alone Earth." Captain out. "Message from Freda, Captain. Toby's giving a concert at the Smithsonian on the 15th. She says it will be quite an occasion. They've got hold of Brahms's original concert grand. Toby's playing one of his own compositions and Rachmaninoff's Paganini variations. Would you like complete coverage or just the audio?" "I'll never have time to enjoy either, but I don't want to hurt Toby's feelings. Send my best wishes and order the whole memnochip." "Dr. Jaworski?"
"Yes, Captain."
"There's an extraordinary smell coming from your lab. Several people have complained to me. The air filters don't seem to be able to handle it."
"Smell? Strange. I hadn't noticed anything. But I'll look into it immediately."
"Captain, there was a message from Charmaine while you were sleeping. Not urgent, but your Martian citizenship will lapse in 10 days unless you renew. Current transmission time to Mars is 22 minutes.
"Thanks, David. I can't deal with it now. Remind me this time tomorrow."
Captain Singh, Research Ship Goliath to Solar News Network. "I received your report a couple of days ago, but didn't take it seriously. I had no idea those lunatics were still around. No, we have not encountered any alien spacecraft. Be assured we'll let you know when we do."
Sonny?
"Here, Captain."
"Congratulations on the table decorations last night, but my soap dispenser's run out again. Can I have a refill? Pine scent this time. I'm sick of lavender."